Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GNSA Working Group Communication Tool Classroom. The purpose of this short session is to present you with the various communication tools you'll probably be having to use if you volunteer to be part of a GNSA working group. Now, these are tools, most of them that you'll have already seen if you're members of constituencies or stakeholder groups or advisory committees. But on the off chance you aren't, or on the off chance you haven't used them very frequently, this is a little overview of what you might be using. So just before we get to the agenda, if you could turn to the next slide, please, Michelle. So first I'd like to introduce you to, well, people you probably have received emails from if you are part of a GNSA working group. So the staff support in the policy team, and especially in the GNSO, is fairly substantive. So you will receive emails with a lot of different names signing them. So just so you have an idea, I've divided us into two groups. So the people you would contact for content purposes. So for regarding mostly the working group agendas and the issues being discussed. So here you have, for example, Marika Koenigs, Mary Wong, Julie Headland, Steve Chan. These will be those who will be sending out calls for subgroups, for instance, or for feedback on conference call content. If we go to the next slide, please, Michelle, you have the GNSO team contacts for the admin and technical support issues. So these are Glenda Saint-Géry and Michelle, who are present in the Adobe Connect room with you. Myself, Natalie Peregrine, who unfortunately can't be there with you, and also Terry Agnew, whose name I sure you recognize. We're part of the GNSO SOAC support. So what that means is that for connectivity issues, audio issues, queries regarding recordings, dates of conference call, all the logistical queries you may have, we're the people to go to. Equally, we're the people to go to if you don't know who to address and have a specific question, we'll be more than happy to point you in the right direction. If you are planning to attend ICANN meetings and you see any of these faces, please don't hesitate to stop and introduce yourself. We'll be more than happy to finally put faces to names. Next slide, please, Michelle. So the agenda for today is fairly straightforward. The first one is trying to help you understand where information is stored. The information practical to GNSO working groups is stored. How the mailing lists function, they're slightly different in the GNSO than in other groups. There'll be a section on working group members only, but that will be useful if there are any observers amongst you, simply because, as you know, you have the option at any moment to change from an observer to a member status and vice versa. So knowing what awaits you could be quite practical. A section on the Adobe Connect room and how to log into conference calls and the structures and information around that. And there's a last section of me advertising heavily our GNSO Learn platform. So let's start with the beginning. Michelle, next slide, please. Where to find information, and the one after that, please, on the GNSO Master Calendar. So the GNSO Master Calendar is to be found on the GNSO website. Now, if you look at the bottom of the Adobe Connect room where you are now, you have a pod, so a gray box with web links there. I would advise you as you go along to click on all the links that are stored there and to save them, as these will cover mostly, in fact, all of the information you will need when participating in a working group. So the GNSO Master Calendar covers, as the title divulges, GNSO working groups, but equally the council calls and also any ad hoc webinars or sessions such as this one. So they will be advertised in advance on the calendar and equally afterwards, as you can see on the slide. It's also a place to find transcripts and MP3s and slide decks if any were used. So if you miss a call and are unsure where to find information, this is where you can find it. Next slide, please, Michelle. The main working space of a working group takes place on the wiki. Now, the wiki can be fairly nebulous if you've never been on there. However, the GNSO portion of it is fairly clearly structured. So the slide currently showing is a GNSO landing page. So if you look on the left-hand column, you have, it's called spaces. So the first item is a GNSO council. And if you look down to the bottom, you have GNSO working groups, drafting teams, etc. Under there, you will find the name of the working group either you're interested in or you're already part of. Next slide, please, Michelle. Once you've chosen, once you've selected the working group you're interested in and you click on it, it will open up to the actual working group wiki space. This is the RDS working group wiki page. RDS short for Next Generation GTLD Registration Directory Services to Replace WHOIS, hence the acronym. All the GNSO wiki workspaces are built in exactly the same way. This means that you will find the working group meetings on there. You will find an up-to-date list of the members, and you will also find all the documents that are mentioned at any given moment, either on the mailing list or on the conference calls. New this year, rather than just have a list of meeting dates, we also create meeting pages. So if your inbox is too full of email exchanges on a particular mailing list, and you just want to find a clear agenda and the documents which are being dealt with, you can go to the wiki space here and click on the meeting page of the meeting you missed, for instance, and you will have the agenda, the attendance, and all the recordings there too, as well as all the notes taken during the call. So it's kind of a one-stop area to catch up on anything you might have missed. Next slide, please. Yes?
Yeah. Natalie, this is Michelle. Would you mind going just a little bit slower?
Okay. Of course, sorry. Sorry.
No worries. Thank you.
All right, so the next section is working group mailing list. And if I did fly over the previous sections too swiftly, please don't hesitate to come back to me with questions. So working group mailing lists. This is something that's quite specific to the GNSO, and we have a lot of questions and confusion from members regarding our mailing list, and they do have a point. If we go to the next slide, please, Michelle, I'll try to explain them better. So for each working group, staff creates two mailing lists to serve all the purposes of the working group. So we will have the normal discussion mailing list is called, which is identifiable by the fact it will always start with GNSO in the title. This discussion mailing list is public and archived. It's accessible to both the members and the observers of the group. The only difference here is that observers will have read-only rights to it, so they can follow the conversations. They cannot post any comments, and members will be able to post to it. This is for content-related discussions only. The other mailing list that you'll find yourself subscribed to, if you are a member, is what we call the Notify mailing list, and it's recognizable by the fact that Notify is shortened to NTFY at the beginning of this mailing list name. This is an information diffusion list only, so only staff can post to it. And we only post the conference call invitations there. This is because only members have access to conference call information, so the time, the date, but equally the Adobe Connect room and the participants' passcodes. So if you do ask to be a member of a working group, we'll subscribe you to both these lists. If you ask to be an observer, we'll only subscribe you to the first mailing list, so the public discussion mailing list, with read-only rights. We will not subscribe you to the Notify mailing list. So it's a nifty habit to take, but to remember to not click reply to all, for instance, when you get an email from the Notify list, and just consult or forward to the GNSO-secretariat mailing list if you need to communicate any apologies or dial in information to us. More of that later. Next slide, please, Michelle. We realize that depending on the working group and the members, there's a need to remind mailing list etiquette, simply because working group etiquette is very different to maybe how you exchange in your professional lives, in your jobs, etc. So if it's the first time that you join a working group, you'll be surprised at how many exchanges take place on the mailing list. And you're entitled to be confused if you come back to your inbox 6 or 7 hours after a break to see what's going on, which is why we encourage clarity on mailing list exchanges. Just silly things. Maybe your email address doesn't give your first and last name clearly. If this is the case, please remember to sign with your full name any exchange you might send. Emails that seem polite or encouraging with thank you or plus ones, etc. If not making a major statement to the working group, should be sent to that one person in particular and not to the entire list. Any administrative or technical queries, for instance, unless you seem to find that this issue is affecting many working group members, please try to keep them to staff only. So this can be the Genesis Secretariat email address. And Michelle, could you please type it in the chat? I don't think I had it on a slide properly. So the geneso-secs@icann.org email address is, again, the Geneso Secretariat email address. And you can send all your apologies, your issues, your dial-out needs to that address only, thus avoiding burdening other people's inboxes. On the other hand, after all this list of restrictions, the mailing list is, of course, there for you to address working group members. This can be with new ideas, and this can also be with questions. Please do not hesitate to ask any question that you feel is silly or maybe giving up your beginner level on a mailing list, because the working groups currently active started very early this year, and we have many newcomers on there, not just newcomers to Genesis working groups, but newcomers to ICANN itself. So there are many people who are not taking part on these mailing lists, but who are reading the content there, who would be very happy to have clearer and maybe simpler stated information. So you will never be mocked on a mailing list for just asking questions you think are maybe too simple. So please don't let maybe the very technical content of a mailing list put you off. Next slide, please, Michelle. So this section is aimed at working group members specifically. These are the extra tasks they have to fulfill to become members. But as I said earlier, if you're an observer, it might be good for you to just have a little heads up of what's expected. Next slide, please, Michelle. So the difference between a member and an observer is that the member will take part in conference calls, in the working group conference calls. They therefore need to be more than just a name on a mailing list. So for that, it is compulsory for new members to fill in statements of interest. These statements of interest can be found on the GNSO wiki, so the one we looked at earlier with the working groups workspaces. And they are basically an introduction of who you are and what your interest is in the working group. There is nothing binding in this statement of interest. It is simply a courtesy that we've enforced because it makes a lot of sense. In order to create a statement of interest, once you sign up for a working group, you will have received an email from me, potentially, with your login name, the wiki, and a temporary passcode. Accompanying this, you'll have received information and a guidebook, basically, to fill in your statements of interest. Most of you who are observers have done this. There have been quite a few members who struggle with this for various reasons. Again, we're there to help. So please don't let any technical issue hinder you. Next slide, please, Michelle. So this is an example of a statement of interest. This is Chuck Gomes' statement of interest. He has chosen not to put a picture there. You're very welcome to add one or not. It depends entirely on what you prefer. Many members choose not to fill in all the boxes simply because they do not apply to their current situation. Bear in mind also that once you've filled in a statement of interest, if your situation changes, you can just log back on and edit the information there. This is something that staff do not have access to. We cannot and will not be able to enter and change information for you. It is entirely up to you and your prerogative to do so. If we look more carefully at lines 2 and 3 and 4, indeed, you're asked about your stakeholder group, your constituencies, and your ICANN affiliation. Well, a few members get confused here, and if they have a business interest in the working group topics, they will put, for example, that they are members of the BC, which is the BC constituency. Now, please be careful when filling this in, because the groups within ICANN, so the groups you might have heard of, the IPC, the Intellectual Property Constituency, or indeed the registries and registrars, these are member groups. So you do need to apply to have membership for these groups before claiming affiliation with them. These statements of interest are checked regularly by the relevant staff. So if you are unsure of your affiliation, please don't hesitate to write to us, and we can help you with that. A lot of the time, if you're joining as individuals, you do not have an ICANN affiliation, and that is absolutely fine. Okay, this is not a problem at all. Next slide, please, Michelle. So again, once you are a member, you have been subscribed to that Notify mailing list, so the closed private mailing list we talked about a few minutes ago. And this is used only for conference call invitation circulation. So this is an example of the email invitations you will receive. This is pretty standard. Whichever working group you are part of, you will receive a similar email. So the key thing first is to notice that the time used is UTC, so universal time. This is to be able to accommodate all the time zones we work with, so we use the one time zone that doesn't shift. If you look below the first line of the invitation, you have times in other time zones, so Pacific time, Eastern time, Central European time, but you also have a time URL link for other times. If you receive an invitation and you are not, you can't identify to any of the time zones visible on the email, you just need to click on this tiny URL link. It will take you to the time and date website, and where you will be very easily able to find what time the UTC time corresponds to for you. Again, if you have issues with this, please just email us and we'll be able to run through it. The next line here is an Adobe Connect line. The Adobe Connect room has not been left on the email because it's confidential, so I cannot show it to non-members of the working group. Every working group has its own Adobe Connect room. So if you are a member of a working group and you have taken part in a conference call, that will be the same Adobe Connect room used time and time again. This is the same also for, if you look down to the bottom of the slide, the participant passcode, which is currently X'd out. This participant passcode is the audio passcode you would use and when you're phoning in with your telephone to be able to join the audio for the call. This participant passcode is a verbal one. For example, today it was welcome. And again, it's grayed out because it is only for members of a working group to be able to use. This is equally the same. It will not change. Once there is a defined audio passcode for a working group, it stays the same until the end of the working group. Next slide, please, Michelle. At the same time as email invitations, because we all know how quickly emails can get buried under other emails, we send out calendar invitations. So we send them in two ways. We send the calendar invitation directly from our calendars, so you would receive them in your inbox as a straightforward calendar invitation. But equally, as some professional inboxes filtered and didn't accept anything we sent from our calendars, we also attach them as ICS attachments to the email invitation we showed you on the previous slide. So between one or the other, we believe we've managed to cater for all the members. Now, if you realize that you are a member of a working group, you received the email invitation, but you haven't received a calendar invitation, and you have issues downloading the calendar invitation from the email invitation, please let us know, as we have a very good tech support team, and they will be able to help us figure out and make sure you receive the calendar invitation. Just a quick reminder regarding the attachments. If you receive the calendar invitation that we send directly from our calendar, then any modification we make to our calendar will be reflected on your own calendar. So time changes or cancellations, for instance, you won't need to worry about. They'll appear clearly on your calendar. However, if you download the attachment from the email invitation, so if you have to open the calendar invitation attachment from the email and download it to your own calendar, then we don't have access to it anymore. So it will be up to you to remember that if you do see a cancellation notification or a time change, to make sure to follow up on your personal calendar. That is an inconvenience we haven't managed to sort out yet. Next slide, please, Michelle. So Adobe Connect Room and Conference Calls. Next slide, please, Michelle. So Adobe Connect overview, you've made it into the Adobe Connect from all of you, so I don't think there'll be a lot left to share here, but I'll go over it nevertheless. Ideally, if you sign in, you'll sign in as a guest. You don't need to worry about the signing in as a host option, you see. That's for staff only. So you would open the Adobe Connect Room, sign in as a guest, and please, please always remember to use your first and last name to sign in. We have a heavy membership on working groups, so if you have a fairly fashionable name, you might find that someone else has that name, hence the need for your full name. But equally, it's as a courtesy to other members to know exactly who you are. And also for purposes of transcripts and recordings of this call, if you do have a question and the chair calls you out, he needs to be able to call you out by your first and last name, simply for transparency purposes. Next in the middle, so where you see the slides of my slide deck currently showing, is the share pod. That's where most all our documents are shown. Nothing much happens there. But we're very excited that in September, we will be able to maybe have live editing in the share pod, which will make conference calls a lot more interactive. So we're looking forward to that greatly, and more of that at the end of the summer. You also have the chat pod in your Adobe Connect rooms. So a couple of things about the chat pod. All content of the chat pod is saved and archived. As well, you know, if you've been part of a conference call already, often there is a completely separate working group conversation going on in the chat pod parallel to the actual conference call taking place. So again, the need for first and last name when you sign in, as otherwise you won't be identifiable clearly in the archives of the chat pod should you be taking part in activity there. However, if you do wish to have a private conversation in the Adobe Room, you can. If you take your mouse, your cursor, and hover it over anyone else's name but your own in the attendance list, you will have the option to start a private chat. So this can be for several reasons. Maybe you're having audio issues, you have issues with your phone, and you need to tell staff that you need assistance. In that case, you could, for example, highlight Michelle's name in the host list and be able to start a private chat with her. When you start that private chat, light would start flashing in her Adobe Connect room, and she would immediately be able to assist you. Maybe you've already been doing it. I don't know. Maybe you want to say something to the chair without the whole group knowing, or maybe you just want to interact with another member. In either of those cases, your conversation will remain completely private. Staff has no access to this conversation, and even Adobe Connect have no access to this conversation. So that will remain completely confidential. There are certain traditions in the Adobe Connect room during GNSO working group calls. Apart from the chair, no one is expected to speak without raising their hand. So raising your hand means that you would go to the top of the Adobe Connect Room toolbar, and there you see a little torso man with his arm raised. And if you click on him, you have the option to raise your hand. If you raise your hand, this means that your name, whereas previously the names of the attendees is listed alphabetically in the Adobe Connect Room, when you raise your hand, your name will slide up to the top of the list. The chair will therefore see that you have your hand raised. This does not give you the right to speak immediately. You need to be called on by the chair. You will also be put in a queue. So you might not have realized it, but there might be several people before you with their hands raised. So in every case, you must wait for your name to be mentioned before starting to speak. Once you've spoken a question or a comment and you've finished speaking, you must remember to go back to the little icon at the top of the AC Room toolbar and there click the option to lower your hand. Otherwise, unfortunately, your hand stays raised and it looks as if you have further questions or comments. Everyone makes that mistake. Please don't worry if you forget it. Even old timers will make that mistake regularly, which is why you might hear in a conference call, if the chair calls out someone with a hand raised, that person will reply, sorry, it's an old hand. It's an old hand, meaning that they just forgot to lower it and not that they have anything further to say. In that same list of icons, so with the man with a hand raised, you also have a green tick and a red cross. You have others, I think, too, but I know that we generally use the green tick and the red cross. These, and this is fairly obvious, express approval or objection, but can be used at any given moment. They're perfectly visible to the chair when he's talking. The chair can often use this as a quick poll, too, as it's fairly difficult sometimes when you're chairing a call to follow the content of the chat. The chair will therefore ask, for instance, if there's a need for a working group call next week, rather than write in the chat, fine by me. If there's 35 members all typing at the same time in the chat, the chair will have issues following. You could just click on the green tick or the red cross, of course, depending on your availability, and this will show up immediately next to your name in the attendance list, thereby allowing the chair to make a swift decision. So if you ever hear a chair asking for a quick green tick or red cross poll, that's where you find it. As I mentioned earlier, the contents of the chat is recorded, but equally the conference calls are recorded, so on MP3, and transcribed. All these are made public, whereas attendance to the conference call is closed and accessible only to members. All the product of the conference call is public and available and posted in different areas. Thereby, anyone becoming a member of a GNSO working group is expected to abide by the ICANN expected standards of behavior. These are pretty straightforward and it's common sense, but it never hurts to remind anyone. So, Michelle, if you go to the next slide, please. This is an overview of ICANN standards of behavior. It happens very rarely that these rules of conduct need to be reminded to people, but it has happened. So here they are, and I think they're also in the pod, with the web link pod in the Adobe Connect Room, should you ever need to refer to them. Next slide, please, Michelle. So you have two ways of, well, let's put it clearly, three ways of connecting to the Adobe Connect audio. There will always be audio streaming in the Adobe Connect Room. So that means that if you want to listen in with your laptop speakers only, you can do so. This will always be the case. You can therefore communicate by typing in the chat. However, if you do have plans to speak or to ask questions, there are two ways of taking part over the audio. You can dial in with voice over IP, and by that I mean using the Adobe Connect Room microphone. So to do that, every time you log in, you will need to click on the telephone icon at the top of the Adobe Connect Room toolbar and follow instructions there. to join with your microphone is generally via. I think that's how it's written. So it takes about 4 to 6 seconds, and once you've enabled your microphone, until you drop out of the Adobe Connect room, your microphone will be enabled for the duration of the working group call. So once you've connected your microphone successfully by clicking through the various steps, you'll know it has worked because the telephone icon you clicked on initially will have become a microphone icon. This means your microphone is enabled. This especially means that you need to remember to mute it because the default of the microphone is unmuted. So once you're satisfied your microphone is activated, you will need to go back onto that microphone icon and mute yourself. You will know you're muted because next to your name in the attendance list, the little microphone icon will have a red line through it. So, of course, once you're to speak, then you do the same procedure again. You go up to the microphone icon and click unmute your microphone. It's fairly straightforward. If you're moving, if you're traveling and you can't access the Adobe Connect room, you can still access, as I'm doing today, the phone bridge, which is always available for all conference calls. To do that, you would refer to the email invitation or your calendar invitation, and there's a list there of dial-in toll and toll-free numbers, as well as the participant passcode to provide. So again, this is a verbal passcode you need to tell the operator. If you don't have an available toll or toll-free number on your list of numbers on the email, then you can always ask for a dial-out. A dial-out means that you would need to provide us with your telephone number and 10 minutes before the scheduled start time of the call, an operator would call you and would place you into the conference call. This is something that we encourage deeply if you don't have access to a toll and toll-free number, because otherwise, of course, the costs can put you off taking part on a weekly basis. But equally, if there are toll and toll-free numbers available, as this is a service that does cost a fair amount of money, it is good if you can save the numbers in your telephone, for instance, to have them ready to dial in yourselves. Again, if you join via the telephone, the default setting once you join will be with an unmuted line. So please remember, once you've dialed into the telephone and the operator has put you through to the conference call, to mute your telephone. Next slide, please, Michelle. So just an overview of the timeline of joining a working group on a weekly basis. You will receive an email invitation a week or so beforehand. You'll receive a reminder of this email invitation a day or two before the conference call. That's the time when you remember to send an apology or ask for a dial-out. The apologies are very important. It's courtesy, but it's also a little bit more. When you are a member of a working group, attendance is taken. There's a final report at the end of the working group, and attendance is a key part of this. Just not turning up is an absence. Sending an apology is a section of its own. It shows intent to join and not just not joining. So your apology doesn't need to give any reason at all. Just simply saying, I cannot attend this conference call, and a one-line email, and that's enough. But it does count towards the general representation of group activity at the end of the working group, so it's quite important. You will join the Adobe Connect room, once again, using your first and last name for reasons we've stated before. And you can connect your audio via the phone or via the Adobe Connect room as you want. And a reminder that anything you type in the public visible chat will be archived. Next slide, please, Michelle. So that was pretty much the end of the daily or weekly working group communication tools I wanted to go over. Now, admittedly, this is not all you need by a long way to happily join a working group. We've realized since January that, as I said before, a lot of members are fairly new to ICANN, if not entirely new to ICANN. So between learning about ICANN, between learning about the GNSO, and then learning the specifics that are required of you in a working group, that's a lot of knowledge to ingest in one go. So for that, staff created, I didn't have a part in this, so I can happily, innocently brag about it, created GNSO, the GNSO Learn platform. The GNSO Learn platform is a means to understand what your activity in a working group actually means to the GNSO and what it means to the policy development process and therefore what it means to ICANN as a whole. And it's very well done. So, for instance, if we go to the next slide, please. It's built in a hop-on, hop-off mode. So you can take a class for 5 minutes, for 2 hours. It's completely individual. It's just very well built in clear sections. So by following each section, you'll have a clear idea of the GNSO as a whole. It's fairly quick to complete, and I've been at ICANN for quite a few years. I hopped onto the platform in a patronizing way to merely correct typos, and I realized that I was actually learning a lot. It was a bit embarrassing, but it proves that it's quite a complete tool. So if we go to the next slide, just a few items that are covered by this GNSO Learn platform. So the main differences between the stakeholder groups, the constituencies, and then their members. How does the GNSO fit? What's its role within the policy development process? There are a few video interviews of members of the GNSO, so past chairs of the council and also working group chairs, which are quite nifty. Next slide, please, Michelle. Other than the GNSO Learn, you have the main ICANN Learn platform that hosts the GNSO Learn platform too. This covers a very wide area of topics. Some courses are what they called bite-sized, so fairly easy to cover on a lunch break. Others will take a good few hours to do so. But I think there's some very good it's a very good way if you're that type of learner to get information quickly. Acronyms are the one issue many newcomers talk about within ICANN, that it's a jungle and they struggle to find their way around. The GNSO website, so the link is in the pod in the bottom of the AC room. On every page has an acronym helper search engine. I think the business constituency equally on their website have that. So please don't hesitate to use it, because as more working groups develop, more acronyms catch up, and you can easily feel swamped. Of course, the best way to gain any experience is to find a working group member who has been a working group for a little while before you, or at least part of the GNSO. Again, please don't be intimidated, and don't hesitate to approach people. If they do not have the time, if they're not available, they will tell you, and they will point you in the direction of someone who can. But as you all know better than I do, I'm sure that in the volunteer work world, passing on information is key to ensure fair distribution of workload. So I doubt that you will find a single working group member who will be happy to take a couple of minutes or much longer to help guide you. Failing that, if it's something you're not completely comfortable with or you just don't know who to address, please don't hesitate to contact us. So by us, I mean the GNSO SOAC support, but equally any of the names that you probably recognize now, so Marika, Mary, Steve, Julie, the staff from the first slide, they will always, always be available to help you. We're all placed in different parts of the world, so we're pretty much guaranteeing a 24-hour coverage during the week time. So please don't hesitate to email us. We also have a well, the GeneSo website, but equally a Twitter feed and a Facebook page. So I know that during ICANN meetings, there's a lot of activity on the GeneSo Twitter account, so please don't hesitate to have a look there. Before I open for questions, I just wanted to mention also, and I can't remember if it's one of you who asked me the question or not in the Google sign-up form. Someone asked me for further information about public comments. Now, I know this isn't exactly in line with the GeneSo working group, but it is a form of participation. So I did find out from the staff person responsible, and they are in the process of starting in the next few months a GeneSo Learn course on public comments, what it entails, how to make the most of them, and how to build up activity within that in your group. So that will be coming shortly, and once it is available, I'll be sure to post it on all working group mailing lists. So that's all I had to say today. I do apologize for not for going too fast at the beginning. Do you have any questions, any comments, anything that you'd like to find out more about? Of course, if you are unable to type in the chat or take part in the audio, you're also very welcome at any time to email us asking for issues, for solutions to an issue, etc. at the email address on your screen right now. Michelle, I think you're trying to speak.
Yes. Okay. Maxime is responding. The question was about public comments compare tool. I think that's as far as we go on that one. I'm not sure. And Tomasa said everything is very clear. Thank you so much. But
thank you very much, Tomasa. I like that kind of question comment. They're the easiest. Thank you so much. Maxime, regarding the public comments compare tool, I asked my colleague who's responsible for this a few days ago because of the public comment question in the sign-up form. And he was reluctant to give me anything, simply because the plan is to revamp the whole system in the next few months. So he simply told me that the page that would be likely not to change anymore would be the public comments page on the ICANN website, and that's it. Now, if you have any questions that I probably can't give you clear replies to, given that we're mostly focused on working groups here and not on public comments, I can very happily send you the email address of my colleague, and I have your email address, Maxime, and maybe you can ask him. How does that sound?
He said okay.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much.
Tomasa does have a question.
Tomaso, please go ahead.
Okay. I think I will study in depth the GeneSo Learn platform, as it seems really useful. Do I need to sign up as students, or will our constituency provide us with credentials?
A very good question, Tomaso, and I should have clarified that. Thank you. No, it's a personal, it's completely personal. So you do just need to sign up. That's all you need to do. It's an individual incentive. There won't be anything at the constituency level for this. So you can just sign up with your preferred email address and password and go ahead.
I hope that's fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions or comments before I give you back a quarter of an hour of your day?
Looks like we have no further questions. Someone is typing. Actually, we have two typing. One moment. J. Emily is typing. She says, thank you, Natalie. This was very helpful. And Tommaso is typing. Thank you again. No further comments or questions.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much, everyone. The recording and slide deck of this will be circulated to you and will be posted on the GNSO Master Calendar. As the next session will be in September, there will not be one in August. If you do feel that this would benefit some of your colleagues or friends, please don't hesitate to circulate. Otherwise, notification of the next session will go out early September, as I said. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. Thank you, Michelle, for your help. That's been great. And have a lovely remainder of your day. You can stop the recording, Michelle.